good morning and welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here on this Friday morning heading into the weekend. And the weekend is going to be nice weather-wise. But, you know, I said this, you look at the forecast, enjoy the weekend because after the weekend is when we start to see the temperatures dip below zero. A little bit of the white stuff likely on the way as well. So we've gotten off fairly lucky temperature-wise and weather-wise so far. I always love the ability to, on this program, highlight, introduce this province and well beyond this province that listen to this radio program to some of the talent that we have when it comes to authors in our province. And today is no exception to that. I've got a great Saskatchewan author by the name of Kathy Ricard, who is going to share a very powerful debut piece of work that blends true crime, prairie history, and the resilience of youth. This book, it's called The Deafening Sound of Sorrow, revisits a 1986 unsolved murder of a 15-year-old girl in Thompson, Manitoba. But the heart of the story really is around the young people that rallied to honor her memory, whether it was through advocacy, scholarships, and community action. It's an intriguing story. It's a heartbreaking story, but there's also lots of sunshine and glimmers of hope. And I'm happy to welcome Kathy Ricard to me in the studio. Kathy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So before we even get into the book, you spent the better part of 30 years working at Sass Power.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You were at the Boundary Dam.
Power station there.
Yeah. You live on a farm.
Yes.
Not just any farm.
A bee farm. I know. Interesting.
Which I think is intriguing. I said in and of itself, that's a story that we could tell. That's a whole different radio segment.
Yes.
Author. Where does author fit into all of these titles that you have? Where did this inspiration come from?
Oh, I've always wanted to write since I was young. Mm-hmm. A young girl. I've written things, diaries, short stories, poems. I've always had that ambition in me. And then, yeah, you meet a guy from southeastern Saskatchewan and fall in love.
Who's sitting in the corner behind me. Handsome devil that he is. Yeah.
My handsome husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then writing, of course, you don't make money, right?
Right.
Unless you're Stephen King, right, Stephanie right. Meyer.
Yes.
So I got on with Sass Power and was a general records clerk, which graduated into a business assistant, which graduated into a business support coordinator. Mm-hmm. So the last 7 years of my career, I oversaw the 10 beautiful business assistants mm-hmm. at Boundary Dam Power Station.
Well, so let's talk about this book, because okay. your inspiration to write The Deafening Sound of Sorrow is interesting. Can you feel comfortable sharing that?
The inspiration.
Yeah, the inspiration.
I've always wanted to write, like I said, and the first books that I penned were the first complete books mm-hmm. were fiction. This one I started in my 20s and there was no ending because nobody was caught. Mm-hmm. Nobody was arrested. Nobody was. So the killers of Kerry are still out there.
This is a true story.
It's based on a true story coming from my eyes as a 14-year-old girl.
I was going to say, this is a very personal story. In fact, I read in the prologue, you refer to this, you're talking with one of your friends, refer to this as our story.
Yes.
So tell us, what is the story?
The story is about how a young girl, I'll back up, 20 kids from all different parts of Thompson, Manitoba hung out, were goofy. You know, we're teenagers, carefree teenagers, and happened to suffer the loss, a tragic, mm-hmm. horrific, brutal loss of a 15-year-old innocent girl who we hung out with.
15-year-old Carrie Ann Brown, right?
And yes.
She was murdered?
She was, my boyfriend at the time was throwing a party on Trout Avenue, and she had left. She was supposed to wait for her best friend, but she went ahead and wasn't found until 2 days later, about 2 kilometers north of the city on a hydro line.
And I can't imagine, you say you were 14?
I was 14.
The time. So how does a 14-year-old deal with this?
It was surreal. I was out of town at the time. Mm-hmm. I was in Flin Flon, Manitoba, visiting my mother, and coming back, everything looked different.
Yeah.
Everything mm-hmm. from getting on that bus to, you know, hitting city limits to seeing everybody again. Everybody had just changed overnight. So her death just, you know, mm-hmm. threw us.
When you decided you were going to write this book, and you said you started this book.
I started it in my 20s, and it was more a whodunit, like Lisa Priest and, you know, right. The Conspiracy of Silence. all the evidence I had documented. I sat through that preliminary hearing for a week. So when I started in my 20s, it was a whodunit. When my friend phoned me up on the 35th anniversary of her death and kind of challenged me to finish it, when I looked at it, I just, you know, I was angry that every time her name was mentioned, it was always going back to the monsters and who killed her and the suspects, and then it would bring everything back up. So what I didn't know what I was going to write. My other books I outlined. This one I just sat down and thought, you know what, I'm going to tell a story, see what comes see out of it, see where it goes, because I also didn't want to be that person to phone up some of the characters in the book and go, yeah, remember that time we were pinecone picking in the bush? I didn't want to be, and I describe it in the book as that skeletal hand reaching from the past, dragging you back down that abyss.
Right.
Because honestly, when you start thinking about Carrie and all the things surrounding her death, it just drags you down.
Right.
Because there's no finish. There's no ending.
I was going to say, you don't have the closure.
The closure of it.
Yeah, what happened.
Of knowing what happened.
So that's part of what you talk about here is the your group of friends.
Yes.
The young people. That
As I started writing and after raising my kids, you know, in the teenage years, I just realized, you know, and it was an RCMP officer that led us down that way, like Constable Toast, who was one of the officers overseeing the case. He was the one that kind of gathered us and said, you know what? Here's an opportunity, you know, to do better, to learn from it, to create this youth group. So that's what we did. So when I started writing the story, I had no idea where it was going. I just, it really shook me that, you know what, instead of wallowing, instead of being angry, we looked at something and turned it into a positive thing.
Right. We're chatting today with Kathy Ricard, a new Saskatchewan author. The Deafening Sound of Sorrow is the book. I noticed on the back of the book, it says on there that this is not just a cold case. This is a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
And it also says this is a lesson in courage. Can you talk about both of those things?
Two friends of mine, after reading the book, I gave them the book. One came to me, she has a teenage daughter now, and said, I didn't even think of it that way. This should be read by young girls, even young boys, because, you know, it teaches... shows you that bad things can happen,
there's dangers
out there. And then when my daughter turned 15, that was a pivotal point, remembering Carrie, because, you know, Caitlin would ask to go to parties. And it was like that old trigger inside of me
wait.
So I, you know, when the party phase started happening with my daughter and her friends, I actually had a meeting in my living room with their mothers and took phone numbers down, exchanged phone numbers, and then, you know, made a pact that nobody was going to be left in a field, left at a party. We were going to be available to drive them home and everywhere and be together. And it wasn't until, you know, my neighbor, who was one of the women at that meeting, was in a hair salon, and I walked in and she came up to me with her hair all dyed up and hugged me and said, now I know why. Now I know why. She thought I was kind of being a freak about it,
right,
you know, overprotective mama, mom.
But read the book.
But now she's read the book and she understands, you know, communication is key. So that came out of us. There's a lot of faucets to this book.
How tough was this to write? Like, and I'm talking about not the process. I'm talking about the mental revisiting, thinking back. Was it challenging?
I was interviewed by a newspaper 2 weeks ago and he said, was it cathartic? And I said, no, it opens up old wounds. It brings back old memories, but it also the good memories of Carrie and what we accomplished and what she inspired in us overshadowed that. But, you know, I had to write chapter one. There was no way I could not. And that was only the monsters know.
Right.
And it was based on all the evidence collected and all the evidence that I remember from listening to that within that preliminary hearing. So that was the worst.
Yeah.
One to get through.
The book, again, is a great new book called The Deafening Sound of Sorrow. It's probably weird for you, Kathy, to hear me call it a great new book because this has been part of your life for
a while. But I appreciate
it. But it is a new book.
Totally
you just did the release in October. The other thing that was been is interesting, and I was smiling as I was looking at some of your blog work, because you actually are giving readers a behind-the-scenes look at the process of doing this. Why did you decide to do that?
I had no say in the pre-release and release of this book from my publisher. So I was thinking of June 15th when it was pre-released to October 16th. What could I do to fill that gap, to get the conversation going, to get me out marketing this book? And, you know, everybody knew, not everybody, but a certain select people knew at Boundary Down that this is what I wanted to do. This is what I wanted to pursue. Because when I pushed the button at 50, everybody looked at me like I was crazy.
Right.
What are you doing? What do you mean? What are you going to do? So again, I just decided, you know, this isn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy.
No.
I can, you know, submit so much. It's like winning the lottery, in my opinion,
right.
Because the standards that you submit your documents to, your submission documents to, are set on a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that is listening at Boundary Down right now knows that I can make a PowerPoint. I can create a video.
Yeah.
I can stand out amongst the crowd. Well, within the literary world, mm-hmm. you have to abide by their standards, like 500 words, 1-inch margin in an email.
Sure.
And then you're bombarded with rejections.
Rejection.
And then you go shopping at a store and one of those old managers walks by you. Where's this great novel, Kathy, that you were going to write? Pick your emotional self up off the floor to keep writing and keep going and, you know, keep pursuing what I've always wanted to do.
Sure. Well, I'm curious to know, you've talked about the reaction of people, for example, in your community, whether they're parents who have children the same age. What was the reaction by some of your friends?
A few of them have reached out and are just so supportive. Mm-hmm. Some have not, which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Again, if this book does anything, it'll maybe hopefully inspire 19 other kids to write their story.
Right.
I'm only one of those 19 kids that did this,
mm-hmm.
and how it impacted my home life and my whole life. So I hope that 19 more books like mine are written from their purview, from their perspective and what they learned from it.
Will you write another book?
I've written two.
Oh,
so if
really?
There's any two others, any literary agents out there listening,
then we've got a couple in the hopper.
I do. I'm going to write.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue to write because that's what I love to do. The publishing is the cherry on the cake
amongst the bee farming, you're writing.
The bee farming. Yes.
Okay. Well, I am telling you, we're going to get you guys back on the show to talk about that. I think
of
it's an interesting topic.
Yes.
I'd love to talk about it. But Kathy, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's a well done piece of work. Again, it's called The Deafening Sound of Sorrel, written by Saskatchewan author Kathy Ricard. You can buy it online. You can go into your local bookstore and order it.
Michael's Coffee Shop on 4th Street.
There you go. That's a good place. Grab a cup of coffee and
a copy of the book.
The Deafening Sound of Sorrel. This has been a great chat. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you
so much for coming in. Appreciate it. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.